The Lord's message for us today is entitled, and you can see this in your bulletin, Effective Prayer Requires the Divine Breath of the Holy Spirit. I absolutely love that thought. That every time we pray, that we ask the Lord to breathe the Holy Spirit into our prayer. The daily practice of spiritual discipline of prayer is critical in being continuously filled with and constantly walking in the power of the Holy Spirit at all times. Unimpaired communication with God is vital to thriving as a maturing disciple of Christ. In this dark world where Satan prowls towards us and sin runs wild all around us. In the late 1700s, William Carey, an English Christian missionary of the Particular Baptist, and he was a minister with that denomination and a translator, he made this statement. Prayer, secret, fervent, believing prayer, lies at the heart of all personal godliness. It is my continuous prayer for each and every single one of you that you pursue a personal life of godliness. And prayer is an essential part of that. In the 19th century, Archbishop of Canterbury in the Church of England and a theologian by the name of Archibald Campbell Tate professed, as we all should as well, I want a life of greater, deeper, truer prayer. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35, gives us a good word picture of how important prayer was to Jesus. It says this, in the morning, while it was still not just dark, it was very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. In following Jesus' example, the apostles, Martin Luther, John Wesley, David Brainerd, Billy Graham, and many others in the body of Christ felt that they could not get on with the important and necessary tasks in the day without devoting themselves continuously to prayer. To breathe was to pray. To pray effectively requires the breath of the Holy Spirit. Prayer was their lives. Now, why do we pray? You have a handout that's in an insert in your bulletin, and I share those with you, and a couple of the remarks and the part of the message from the Lord for each of us are there, and I cut it in half so you could put it in your Bible, and on the other side deals with how you can have a quiet time in 7 minutes. So I hope that you will take that home and read that today. But why do we pray? One major reason is because God delights in our prayers. Another is that prayer has the power and authority to influence. God is unchanging. He has unchanging love. But did you know that your prayers can affect directly the world? That's an amazing gift. In Exodus 32, Moses prayed to the Lord to turn back his wrath on his people. As we talked about last week, for the need to master the spiritual discipline of meditation, if you just still yourself and truly listen, God will talk to you. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. In Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, it instructs us, it says, to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything. In other words, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. How do we let our requests be made known to God? It is through the spiritual discipline of effective prayer. And then it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Are you going through any anxiety, any depression, any forlornness, any isolation, any lack of hope, any grieving? My prayer for you each and every day is that God would give you His peace that surpasses all understanding and would guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's one of the greatest things that we can do for one another. Because a lot of times we feel embarrassed, we don't want to share, we're not ready to share, but we know that there is tremendous pain going on and suffering going on. The Bible says that you will incur suffering. The best thing that I could do is make sure that I'm right with the Lord, that I am not only filled with the Holy Spirit, but I'm walking in the Spirit, and that I lift prayers up for you in God giving you relief to your suffering. Prayer is not an option or an elective. We don't choose to do or not do prayer. Prayer is an important to the health and the growth of a spiritual life as oxygen is in taking your next breath. Please turn in your Bible to our scripture passage for today, and let's read together Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Just like God commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous, God wants us to be strong, and we stand and we face what He has put before us on the battlefield of our daily life. Each and every single one of us have a battlefield in front of us today. There is no R&R. There is no rest and relaxation. But there are moments for us to rest in the Lord, even on the battlefield in taking a knee. But always remember this. Never forget, as Christians, all our true and everlasting strength comes from the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, which you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. And here it is. Listen. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Oh my goodness. We don't need to just be praying for what we could see, touch, feel, taste, look at right in front of us. There is a battlefield that is in front of us and all around us that we are clueless to, and we need the Holy Spirit to have the spiritual eyes to see. Verse 13, therefore, because of all of this, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore with girding your loins, that means the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment in the spreading of the gospel of peace. Besides all of this, take the shield of faith with which you can quench all of the fiery darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now watch this. I don't know if many of you have spotted this, but in this next verse, verse 18, there are four alls in that one verse. Pray all at all times in the Spirit, and with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Perseverance means discipline, determination, persistence. Making supplication for all the saints. What that means right there is, I need to be continuously praying for you, and you need to be continuously praying for me. And then Paul says in verse 19, and also pray for me. He's in jail right now. That utterance may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador, which you are an ambassador, in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The Lord's matchless blessings be upon you in the reading of His Word. As I continually beseech the Lord to provide me inspiration and revelation to herald, I am a herald, of His message in order to spiritually feed each and every one of us what we need to hear and what we need to be obeying, I am hoping to preach a series on each of the specific pieces of God's armor. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shot with the spreading of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. You know, you strike any of the other parts of the body, it's not necessarily you die. You strike the head, then you have a mortal wound there. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But today, the focus of this passage is on verse 18 and the spiritual discipline of prayer. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all of the saints. There are different types of forms of prayer. And I'm hoping that in our Bible studies, not only your individual Bible study, but also during the church's Bible studies that we have with women on mission, men on mission, that we study the different forms of prayer because they're beautiful. You have a discursive prayer, which is more of an informal or a general or a broad type of praying, rather than the cares and the affections of the will. You have the mental type of prayer. This is through dialogue, meditating on God's Word and contemplating, looking for the face of Christ. Then you have centering prayer. This is a meditation with a strong emphasis on just inward silence. Then you have prayer of quiet. It's a state which the soul experiences an extraordinary peace and rest accompanied by delight or pleasure in contemplating the fact that God Himself is present with you in that moment. How about the prayer of relinquishment? This is a prayer of letting go and releasing our will to His will. We have to do that every single time. We are a living sacrifice, it talks about in Romans. But living sacrifices every single time will look to try to crawl off the altar. And we have to have the discipline and the courage to remain as a living sacrifice on the altar. Not my will, but Thy will be done. How about the prayer of guidance, seeking the Spirit's direction and the Spirit's will for our lives? And then the prayer of intercessory prayer or prayer of faith. That's where we pray for one another. Like all other inward, outward, and corporate spiritual disciplines, prayer is a learning process. That is why the disciples, they said to Jesus, in Luke chapter 11, Lord, teach us to pray. I am so thankful that as a part of our time of worship that we included in our confession time the Lord's Prayer. I say, well done. Lord, teach us to pray. As they learned how to pray as Jesus did, you know what? The disciples never, ever concluded by saying, "If it be thy will." When praying for others, they, the disciples, and ourselves, we should leave no room for any indecisiveness, any tentativeness, any half-hoping prayers. If Jesus needed to pray, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done," then we need to learn to always think God's thoughts after Him. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be confident that we are praying at all times in the Spirit, because our prayers are breathed upon by the Holy Spirit. We need to expect that a change is a-coming. We need to expect that a change should and would occur because we are praying that God's will be done. Jesus declared, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you." Yet to learn how to pray properly, we must get in contact with God so that His life and power can flow through us into each other. To begin with, we must quiet our fleshly activities. We need to be still in a state of anticipated meditation, and we need to listen. Listen for the silent thunder of the Lord of hosts, and He will speak to you. I love this perspective on prayer by Søren Kierkegaard, mid-18th century Danish philosopher, theologian, and religious author. Listen to this. I love this. I would tattoo, no, maybe not tattoo, I'd embroider it on a shirt. "A man prayed, and at first he thought that prayer was talking. But he became more and more quiet, until in the end, he realized that prayer is listening." The prayer of guidance constantly precedes and surrounds the prayer of faith, or intercessory prayer, which requires us to hear, to know, and obey the will of God before we pray it into the lives of others. "Be still and know that I am God." "Be still" will allow us to learn more and more each day who God is and how His power operates. As Jesus pointed out to His disciples in Matthew 17 and in Luke 17, if a tiny mustard seed-sized faith can perform great miracles, then we should not be afraid to pray for others. In many instances, the problem is not faith. In many instances, the problem is not faith. In many instances, the problem is the lack of compassion. Not pity. The lack of compassion. And Jesus had compassion on her. When you pray, does God say, "And you had compassion on that person," as Jesus did? If we have God-given compassion and concern for others, our faith will grow and strengthen as we pray. In learning the process of prayer, don't make it too complicated. Rather, come like children to the Father, with openness, honesty, and trust. We should not hesitate to bring the simplest requests confidently to the Father in heaven. Be imaginative. It opens the door to faith and allows you to watch the light from Christ flow through you into another in need. The imagination is not to manipulate God or tell Him what to do. Actually, it's the opposite. We are asking God to tell us what to do as we are utterly dependent upon Him. In other words, our prayers are like a reflect action. It's a spiritual response to God's prior initiative that He puts on our hearts. I know each one of you have experienced that. How have you responded when you're sitting there praying and all of a sudden, bam, you know that there is something that God wants you to do. How do you respond? Sorry, Rebecca, I didn't mean to do that to you. She jumped and I jumped. And I lost my place. It's a reflex reaction to God's prior initiative upon your heart, proceeding from the Holy Spirit. You know what it is? Do you know why you feel that way? It's because the Holy Spirit is breathing on you. The Holy Spirit is breathing on you. And He's anointing with oil upon your prayers as He continuously intercedes with you with sighs too deep for words. Sometime today, ask the Lord if He has a prayer task for you. And I do believe, Rebecca, the Lord has a prayer task for you. Just get it over with. To make supplication for someone among all the saints. Write down that prayer task and post it on your bathroom mirror, your refrigerator, your car dashboard. Pray once a day for 30 days for this individual and their specific needs. It may be a health need. It may be marriage. It may be the children. It may be finances. In your prayers, imagine and envision a healing constructed with love and consideration, a place that is filled with the peace of Christ. And while you are pouring out compassion and praying on their behalf, you stand firm and you're fully clothed in the full armor of God. Because why? Because while you are praying, you are also in a battle against principalities, powers of this present dark ruling world and the wickedness of the heavenly spiritual hosts. And they do not want your prayers fulfilled. Other areas in your circle of nearness that need your prayers, pray for your pastor. Pray for our leadership. Pray for our worship services. When every person in the congregation prays intensely while the pastor is preaching, a miracle will happen. As declared in Isaiah 6:1, yes, do you see the Lord high and lifted up, filled and filling this very sanctuary that you are in here in His presence today? I believe it. I believe at First Baptist Church of Piedmont, in this sanctuary here today, that the Lord high and lifted up is filling this very sanctuary with His presence. Just like Isaiah saw in chapter 6. Pray for your home. Pray with your children. Take them in your arms and bless them, even while they're sleeping. You can ask Christ to flow through your hands, healing every emotional trauma and hurt feeling your child went through today. Your child, your grandchildren. Ask the Lord to fill them with peace and joy of the Lord. Pray for the lost. Pray for those that we're going to be talking to next week at the laundromat. At the time of the conversion, Jesus said to Saul, I am sending you, and I'm here to tell you right now, on behalf of the Lord as His herald, the Lord is sending each and every single one of you to open their eyes in the Piedmont community so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me, says I, Jesus the Christ. And I pray that right now with you in Jesus' name. Just as Jesus commissioned and sent the Apostle Paul out to a mission field, we have been commanded to go and do the same. Praying for those who are lost around us should be as natural as taking your next breath. Then, as you go out of here today, bearing the full armor of God and led by the Holy Spirit, go! Go open your mouth boldly and declare the mystery of the gospel to those near you as you ought to speak. And then don't worry about the results. Because in sharing your faith, always leave the results up to God. That's for the Holy Spirit's work. Pray for your enemies and those who persecute you. Love them. Pray throughout the day. One of the things I love to do is called flash prayers. I can be praying. I will tell you, and I'll say this a lot. When I come here from where we are, which, by the way, pray for us because we're moving into our Piedmont home this week. And that is, I see more cars in the bar parking lots than I see in the parking lots of our churches. And I pray, Lord, bring them out of the field of eating grass. Give them a sound mind. Open their hearts that they will receive you into their life as their personal Lord and Savior. Experience the fullness of the living hope that only comes from you, and help them grow in all holiness in their relationship with you and one another in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name. And do you know that as many times as I've done that, every time we pass the bars, Nikki says, pray, and he sticks out his finger, and we better be praying for those people. But that should be, that's a flash prayer. To see or hear anybody may be to pray for them. You could do that in your circle of nearness when you're going through Walmart. Finally, pray against the evil one, the devil. Certainly, we need to be on our guard at all times. And as you know, I call you soldiers, I call you warriors, so you need to have a warrior's prayer against the enemies of our souls. The Apostle Peter instructed us in 1 Peter 5, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time He may exalt you. Cast all your anxieties on Him, for He cares about you. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering is required of your brethren throughout the world. I know you're suffering. You know that I'm suffering. Let's be honest. And let's pray for one another in the Spirit. We are fighting against the principalities and the powers that require us to pray for protection. I love this. Surrounding ourselves with the life of Christ. Covering ourselves with the blood of Christ. And sealing ourselves with the cross of Christ. Don't you love that? For our struggles are not against the enemies of blood and flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Our battle is not linear. Our battle is not linear. Our battles are non-linear. And we have been given a plan on how to fight the evil one on a non-linear battlefield. And it requires prayer. Here's a final word. Never wait until you feel like praying for someone before you pray for others. The more we practice spiritual discipline of prayer, the more we will feel like praying. Thomas Kelly, an early 1900s American Quaker educator, postured for us not to worry that prayer will take up too much time, but it takes no time, but it occupies all our time. There's a way of ordering our mental life. On one level, we may be meeting the demands of our external affairs, our busyness of the day, but deep within, we may be also in prayer and adoration, song and worship, and a gentle receptiveness to divine breathing. Effective prayer begins with being still, acknowledging God's holiness. It's in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And honoring our Lord of Lords by just listening. Then, spiritually breathe, exhale the impure by confessing your sins in your life. And then inhale the purity of being filled with a divine breath of the Holy Spirit. When you begin to speak with God during your sacred quiet times, may I suggest that you have the option of practicing acts of prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Make a daily prayer list or a journal. Pray for those you see and hear, that they would receive Christ into their life as their personal Lord and Savior. Begin or join an organized prayer group at church, at work, at home, at school. There are many passages in Scripture that you can claim God's promises of effective prayer. Remember, we are to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. If you need prayer today, you come forward and allow me or one of our deacons to effectively pray with you. And expect God to respond, because you know why? He loves you and He cares for you. You come.